कमेंट्री बाय हिज होलीनेस शिवराम स्वामी महाराज एंड हिज होलीनेस सचिनंदन स्वामी महाराज. बिफोर दैट वी विल चैंट दिस वर्स वंस. रतिम गौरी लीले अपितापति सौंदर्य किरणैः शची लक्ष्मी सत्या परिभवति सौभाग्यवलनैः वशीकारैश्चन्द्रावलिमुखनवीना व्रजसति क्षिपद्याराध्यातां हरिदयितरादां भजमना. सो कमेंट्री बाय शिवराम महाराज एंड बाय हिज होलीनेस सचिनंदन स्वामी महाराज. और एक के बाद एक. द पर्पोट ऑफ दिस वर्स इज वन कैनॉट अटेन द मर्सी ऑफ कृष्ण विदाउट अप्रोचिंग श्रीमती राधाराणी. राधाराणी इज स्टेटेड हियर टू बी मोर ब्यूटिफुल देन रति who is the wife of Cupid, then Gauri, the wife of Lord Shiva, and Leela, meaning the pleasure potency of the Lord, more resplendent than Indrani, Indra's wife, or Lakshmi, Lord Narayan's wife, and Satyabhama in Dwaraka. Radha is more expert in controlling Krishna than anyone else. How does she control Krishna? We always hear Radha is very beautiful. In the material world, beauty generally tends to be a material thing. But in the spiritual realm, beauty is an indication of love. Even in the material world, beauty actually has a strong emotional component. It is not just bodily features. So, it depends on the emotional connect also. So it is not just physical attraction. Of course, physical attraction does play a role, but sometimes you see, like Prabhupada says, that a woman looks most beautiful when she is pregnant. In one of the purports Prabhupada writes. But actually this is contrary to popular observation. Actually, a woman looks very disfigured when she is fully pregnant. So, how could Prabhupada write something which is contrary to perception? In one sense, if you see, a pregnant woman is supposed to look beautiful for whom? For her husband only, not for others. Others are not supposed to look at her. So, which means, for in the eyes of a husband, the pregnant woman looks very beautiful. Why? Because she is carrying his child. She is carrying his heir apparent, the one who is going to continue the parampara. So therefore, she looks very beautiful. So that indicates how the emotional connect actually affects the perception of beauty. So, that's what here Prabhupada is writing. Sorry, Srila Shivaram Maharaj is writing. In the material world, beauty generally tends to be a material thing, but in the spiritual realm, beauty is an indication of love. The more one has love for Krishna, the more beautiful one is. Because Radharani has the greatest love for Krishna, she is the most beautiful. We glorify Radharani's beautiful features or hear how Krishna is attracted to Radharani, not because she is a nice looking girl, because her beauty is reflecting her love for him. That love not only attracts Krishna, but it is so intense that it makes him subordinate to Radharani. This is a concept which no one understands outside the glory of the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Even great acharyas have difficulty understanding this. Even other Vaishnava acharyas may not agree. Lakshmi is the greatest but devotee, but she cannot be the controller of Lord Narayana. There is one particular story of when Jayadev Goswami was writing his Gita Govinda. As he was writing, he was seeing within his heart what he wrote. And in one particular pastime, Radharani was very angry and wouldn't have anything to do with Krishna. As Jayadev was writing, he was seeing that Krishna is bowing down, pleading with Radharani, and finally putting his head on Radharani's lotus feet. Jayadev just couldn't write this meditation down. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. How can he put his head on the feet of this cowherd girl? With his mind in turmoil over this duality, Jayadev left his writing and went away. Then his wife saw that he returned very quickly and went back to his writing. And after some time, he again went away. And then sometime later, he returned. When Jayadev came back for the second time, his wife Padmavati asked him, "Why did you come back before?" He said, "Come back? When did I come back? I have been down at Ganga chanting Gayatri." She said, "You went down to the Ganga? Then I saw you come back." She paused, her brow furrowing, and said to Jayadev, "Something is wrong here. Something is wrong with you, or something is going on." So Jayadev asked, "What did I do when I came back?" She said, "You came back and went to your desk. I saw you going to your writing." Jayadev went in to where he was writing, and then he saw written in handwriting that he couldn't have written, "Smaragarala khandanam mama shirasi mandanam dehi pada pallavam udaram jwalati mayi daruno madana kadanaruno haratu tad upahita vikaram. Put the buds of your lotus feet which destroy the snake poison of Kamadev on my head, making them my decoration. The sun's pain caused by Kamadev and intolerable to me gives me pain. May your feet remove those effects." Jayadev could then understand from this handwriting that it was Krishna who had come and personally written in his pages. These dealings are very, very confidential. Even most Vaishnavas cannot understand them. Most Vaishnavas would be upset, thinking, "How is that possible?" The answer is, Krishna is giving his lotus feet to everybody, yet he wants the lotus feet of Radharani because she is actually Krishna's Ladini Shakti. She is the manifestation of Krishna's pleasure potency, and he is incapable of enjoying without her. Bhaktivinod gives a nice description of Srimati Radharani and some prayers. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis had an argument over one verse of the prayers quoted here. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami had an argument. Rupa Goswami wrote, "Your braids that are decorated with jewels and flowers give the appearance of a serpent's hood." When Sanatan Goswami read this, he said to Rupa, "You are comparing Radharani's hair to the black hood of the cobra. This is not such a good thing." Rupa Goswami replied, "Then how shall I compare it?" Sanatan said, "I don't know, but this is not a good thing." Rupa concluded, "Anyway, you are my spiritual master, so you should tell me." So Sanatan Goswami goes walking, meditating on what Rupa had written, thinking of a more appropriate comparison. He walked for a long time and finally came to a lake where he saw young girls playing, and then from behind one of the girls he saw a big snake coming. So he called out, "Watch out, watch out, look out for snake." They all just laughed, and he still saw this big snake behind the girls, but all of a sudden it just disappeared. Sanatan Goswami could understand that he saw Radharani with her girlfriends and realized that Rupa Goswami's description wasn't at all inappropriate. In that condition, her hair did look like the black hood of the cobra. So he went back and apologized to Rupa Goswami. No, it's all right. You can write it down like that. But, Bhakti Vinod's description of Srimati Radharani go on and on. Rupa Goswami's poetry is voluminous. So this is commentary by his holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. Commentary by Shachinandan Maharaj. After the 9th verse, Raghunath Das Goswami explains the single object of love out of everything he has said. And who is that single object of love? Radharani. Without first approaching the Swarup Shakti, the Lord's internal potency, we can never attain the full aspect of Lord Krishna. Just like when we approach a fire, we first approach the light of that fire. If we don't go to the moon rays first, how will we see the moon? The moon is there for us through the moon's rays. So Krishna's own energy is Srimati Radharani, and we need to make contact with her first. Therefore, she is our single object of worship. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is a very interesting illustration on how we must approach Radharani first. Early one morning, Gopakumar goes to visit Krishna. On that morning, Sri Radhika Devi herself stops him. Gopakumar remembers that morning he met with Radharani and received her order. He thinks, "Radhika ordered me. There is a Brahmana in Mathura and he is coming to my grove in Vrindavan on earth. This Brahmana does not know what he should know to reach me. Enlighten him with good instructions and console him. Help him quickly attain Krishna's grace." I swiftly changed course and came to Vrindavan on earth, overjoyed. I didn't even think I would miss Krishna's company that morning. So, Gopakumar goes to meet Krishna. Radharani stops him. She says, "I have a service for you. There is this Brahmana in Bhuloka and he wants to attain Krishna's grace, but he does not know how. So he is despondent. You go there, go to Vrindavan, you will find him and console him and guide him how to get Krishna's grace." So Gopakumar leaves from there, comes to Bauma Vrindavan, and he is so overjoyed that he does not miss meeting Krishna that day. Sanatan Goswami explains this difficult subject. Gopakumar is there to meet Krishna, and then he is stopped on the way, told to go on a preaching assignment. Gopakumar knew that obeying Radha would endear him to Krishna. Verse 10 of Manasiksha mentions three qualities that make Radha so special. One is her extraordinary beauty. She is more beautiful than even the wife of the God of love. Second is her ability to control Krishna. The third is her extreme good fortune. Mahabhagavatam, where is extreme good fortune indicated? In the spiritual world, the index by which beauty is measured is by the amount of love. Same thing that Shivaram Maharaj wrote, the same thing he also is telling, indicating. Radharani is most dear to Krishna and she has the greatest amount of love for him. The smallest love is that of ordinary devotees who have an atomic particle of love for God. The second degree of love is represented by devotees such as Narada Muni. The first degree of love is held by devotees such as the Vrajavasis, Mahan, and the topmost person with the greatest love for Krishna is Radharani. Paramamahan. We have a lake in our hearts, and we might have things swimming in there we do not want, like plastic bottles. Krishna's heart is like vast Manasa Sarovar lake, the highest beautiful lake at the foot of Mount Kailash, and in the lake there is a swan named Radharani who is swimming. Krishna loves Radha so much because she has a unique type of love. So this is about the first quality. The second, her second quality is the ability to control Krishna. By using the mystic power of her intense love for Krishna, she has brought him completely under control. Krishna says, "Listen, O Radha, I am fully under your control. I am unable to think of anyone but you. When I repeat your name, Radhe, and meditate on your form, I just cannot remain patient. When from anywhere I hear the name Sri Radhe, my mind runs in the direction of these words. Crying and crying, I lift my face and cry out loudly for Radha. Only then my life is saved. You know, I wait for you. I do not like Vrindavan if it is without you. I like Vrindavan only because of you." This is Krishna speaking. Another quality of Radharani is her good fortune, Saubhagya Valanai, the good fortune to have Krishna's feet in her heart. So, my dear devotees, this is Radharani. She is the most fortunate. She has Krishna fully under her control, and she is the most beautiful. All three are there because of her love for Krishna, this singular Mahabhav. How do we attain Srimati Radharani's mercy? My dear devotees, in the path of Krishna consciousness, there are two strands. One is the strand of cultivation, and the other strand is plead for mercy. Rupa Goswami tells us of praying for mercy, and it is the path that has also been instructed by Raghunath Das Goswami in his 8th verse. On this path of pleading for mercy, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we need three qualities. That was the last line of his purport. Let's see if, except for Adhamadan Gopal Prabhu and Sarvatmari Prabhu, if amongst the four of you, if you recollect what was the last line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary, where he mentioned that we need three qualities to be successful in getting the mercy of Radharani. What are the three qualities? Unpretentious humility. Someone is unpretentiously humbled when others' mistakes and insults are tolerated. Second, ardor. Ardor means passionate devotion. And third is one-pointedness. Rupa Goswami has written a prayer that starts with a glorification of Radhika in the first four verses, and then describes, "Having offered obeisances in these ways, I, a distressed soul belonging to you, beg you with sweet words while rolling on the banks of the Yamuna. Although I am unfit, an offender with a crooked mind, please bestow on me a fragment of the gift of service to you. This unhappy soul is not fit to be neglected by you, for you have a butter-soft heart that melts constantly by the warmth of your compassion." This was quoted at least two times before. This is from Prarthana Paddhati. In the same way, all our acharyas actually plead, "Aren't you the emblem of compassion? Isn't it known throughout the scriptures that you are compassionate? Isn't compassion the movement of the heart? I am most inferior, so shouldn't your compassion extend to me? Everyone can say, I am very humble, I am very fallen. It is very easy to learn the humble vocabulary. But it is so difficult to be tolerant if someone steps on our toes. Then we can see the truly tolerant devotees who, even if they are wronged, go on without protest. Some of us are so cold in our hearts, we have to put some heat in our practice so that there is an intense hankering. And we must have a one-pointed goal: humility, intense hankering, and a one-pointed goal. This will get us the mercy of Radharani. Humility.
Tolerate
your own mistakes also. So this is about the 10th verse.